This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm going to jump down some verses, and we're going to actually go to James, the 18th verse, still the same chapter, but let's read that there. Of His own will, let's call that God's own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That verse 19 is what I'm a little concerned about. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Like I said, everything has followed a pattern here. I'm hoping that doesn't. But let me just talk a little bit about that first part. It says, it really is our heritage, God's plan and will. Now, this is where James gets into a little bit of the doctrine. And I want you to stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. I put these verses together because they go together. And I think we need to understand what James is talking about. Because oftentimes we take that 19th verse and we separate it as a good relationship verse, and it is. But I think we need to understand the reason behind why James said we ought to do this. And so I call this our heritage. God's plan and will is that we can be regenerated or born anew, or the term born again. Some people don't like that phrase, but it's not a Baptist phrase or denominational phrase. It's a God phrase. And Jesus was the one that said it. And in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 23, it says, having been born again, he's talking to believers, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we're not just forgiven, we are new creations, born again. Now that's obviously talking about a spiritual birth. People hear, I've been made a new creation. Joy was, when she made a decision for Christ, she was very upset that the next morning she woke up and her complexion had not cleared up. And because someone told her that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, all things pass away and all things become new. She was very serious. She woke up in the morning, her complexion had not cleared up, and she thought something was wrong. It's a spiritual rebirth. And so as we're talking about these things, we have to understand what the Bible is talking about. So he's talking, you'll hear that term regeneration or the term born again. People say, well, I don't like the term born again. That's what happened to us. We didn't just get a makeover. We didn't just get a washing, although we were washed and cleansed, but we are new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. If you're brand new, you don't have a past. It's gone. We're new creations in Him. That's good news. And so when we tell people to come to the Lord, we're not saying come get religion or come to our church or you've got to do things our way. You come to Jesus and He is able to cause you to be completely recreated. Say, how does He do that? I don't know. It's by His word and by His spirit. And our part is we just believe that. And when we do, there's good things that happen. So through the agency of God's word and work of the Holy Spirit, our part's to respond in faith. Now, we are the first part. That word first fruits are, we are the first part of God's ultimate plan of redemption. You realize that God is going to create one day a new heavens and a new earth. And he's going to start that whole thing over again. In fact, Romans says that the earth just travails in birth. The earth got put under a curse when Adam turned it over to Satan. He obeyed Satan. That put the earth under the curse. That's why Jesus had to come. But that never was the intent. God did not create a world with all this destruction in it. That came after the fall. So there will come a day when God goes, we're going to start this whole thing over again. And He's going to make it over. And that's going to be fine. I mean, if He makes Texas without humidity, I would really appreciate that. But He's going to do this again. But until He does that, we are an example of first fruits of what God is going to do with all of creation. He's redeeming all of it. And so you say, well, Wednesday, is that going to happen next week? No, it's going to be a while. So what do we do in the meantime? So that's something we need to think about. We're a first fruits. We're an example of God's redemption. Now, I realize sometimes people say, well, you know, Alan, I don't really have a real redemption story. I mean, I didn't live a bad life and I was a pretty good kid and then I made Jesus my Lord. I don't have a great testimony. Actually, you do have a great testimony. You may not have had a bad past, but you've got a wonderful future in the fact that you made Jesus your Lord. You still became a new creation in Him. You got a wonderful testimony. The testimony is you were lost, now you're found. You were on your way to hell, now you're on your way to heaven. That's a wonderful testimony. You don't have to. Some of us took more scenic routes to get to Christ than others. But the bottom line is, it's all, once we come to Him, it's all good news. And we are first fruits. And so when we see each other in heaven, we're going to be like, good to see you, man. I remember we went to church together. And we're going to be rejoicing. We got a long time to do that, too. That's going to be wonderful. Eternity is a long time. So he's talking about that we're the first fruits of His creation. Now, hang on to that thought. We're examples of God's goodness. He said, so then. Uh-oh. Since he's connecting the thoughts. So then. Put that scripture back up, Carrie, if you would. I'm going to backtrack on you. No, I'm sorry, Carrie. The one in James. There we go. See, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He's connecting the thoughts. The thoughts are, we're first fruits of what God has done. So then, we are to be a reflection of that. We're changed. Now our behavior is to match the change. You got quiet, you hear? So the idea is, He's done something in us. So now we are changed. Our behavior is to represent Him. You ready for this one? This is one of my favorites. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Guys, I got to tell you the truth. When I preach this one, I'm not preaching this from the position of I'm really good at this. This is one of, but I'm going to tell you something. Just as I've been studying the book of James, I am going to get better at this. Thank you for four. Anybody else want to join me? But they're more than... because here's the deal. I'm still a reflection of my Father. Now, as your pastor, you expect certain kinds of behavior out of me. Told you when I was driving sometimes, that's probably not my highest, best moment. But I got in behind some lady who happened to be in my personal lane, which is the left lane, and I was, and she was going slow. I don't understand why. I still don't. That's one of the questions I have to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. Why do people get in the left lane and drive slower than everybody in the right lane? I don't know that. I don't know. I'd like to know that. I've asked many of them. They do not answer me because they cannot hear me. I'm in the left lane. I'm driving along. Matthew's in the car with me. I'll never forget it. This lady, and finally, I'd had about enough. And I'm about to put some horn action on her. And I'm about to blow the horn. I'll never forget what Matt said. He said, probably a church member, Dad. Well, wouldn't that bless you? To see someone blowing the horn, you look up, oh, it's Pastor Allen. Hey, man. Oh, man, that caught me. I'm like, yeah, probably. You want to hear another story? One of my favorites. We had a staff member and a key volunteer years ago. They both came to a four-way stop. You know how you do the four-way stop dance? You're waving the other person. Finally, both of them got stuck in the middle of the thing, and they're just, and then they recognize one another. Praise God. Bless y'all. Good to see y'all. So, I'm going to get better at this one. But here's the deal. We're not doing this because we want better people skills. We're doing this because we're a representative of God. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Just in the event, listening skills are not easy. How many of you figured that out? So, I brought four that would help all of us. There's longer lists than four. But I just narrowed it down to my top four of listening. You ready? You ready for this one? This will help you. Don't interrupt. Should I continue, or you want to stop right there and just Everybody repent. Don't interrupt. Interrupting says I'm more important. Interrupting also said it's not a conversation, it's a contest, and I'm going to win. Just look straight ahead and go, I'm glad other people, I know people need to hear this tonight. All right. Here's the other one. And guys, this is for us. Don't impose solutions. You know, if you tell a man something, we're going to fix it. We got solutions. I've got lots of solutions. You tell me something, I've got solutions. I'm starting to figure out Joy is not interested in any of them. She just wants to talk. You still with me? Okay, we got two more. Here's one. Don't plan what you're going to say while the other person's talking. I know we've all done that. Someone's talking, and you're loading your gun behind your back. You're like, oh, yeah, I got this. Okay. Don't plan what you're going to say. And then here's the fourth one. Give feedback, verbal and nonverbal. Verbal feedback would be, really? Oh, okay. It's verbal feedback. Nonverbal is like looking at them and maybe nodding your head. It's good. I get on to my youngest sometimes because I can talk to him and he can get this deadpan look on his face like he's in a coma or something. And he says, and I'm going to go, are you hearing the words coming out of my mouth? And so will those four help anybody? That's good. That's just four. Quick to hear, but we're not done. Slow to speak. Another area that I'm improving in, getting better in. Proverbs 17, you'll like this one. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Come on, guys. I don't do any personal counseling. Y'all looking at me like I just offended you. It's quick to hear, slow to speak. And I can tell you this. Usually, I've never regretted something I didn't say. And so oftentimes, being slower to speak, it's just helpful. Relationally, it'll help you. But again, we're doing this because we're representatives of Him. I've noticed this. The listeners, the good listeners, are few. And so if you can develop good listening skills, you're going to put yourself in a whole different category. So quick to hear, slow to speak. Here's the last one, slow to get angry. This is one I can say I have improved in. Joy, if you put Joy on the stand, she would actually say, Alan's gotten better at this. So for those of you who are quick-tempered, here's one of the things you may want to stop saying. Stop saying, I've got a bad temper. What happens is you get that ingrained in you, and over the years, you learn to yield to it. And so you yield to temper over a period of time. It's an easier flow to get into. But as you begin to mature, remember we said James is for the mature. As we begin to grow up and mature, the anger needs to dial down. Now, if you go, I can't help myself. I understand that. I understand what you're saying there. But a better way of saying is, Lord, help me be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Help me in this area. And this is an area where, boy, anger and blowing up on people, man, that's not effective. It didn't work. It didn't work at home. It doesn't work in the workplace. It just doesn't work. And the anger things can be dialed down. And the Lord can help you with that. They used to call me Hurricane Al. I mean, no, Tornado Al, and Joy is Hurricane Joy. Tornadoes strike fast. They come out of nowhere, boom, they come up, blow something up, and then they disappear. Hurricanes build offshore, and you know they're coming. You can feel the barometric pressure drop when you get around. I've walked in the house before and went, uh-oh, the pressure has dropped. But I was more hair trigger, and so have a hair trigger and say things. And if you say things like that, you're going to wind up having to spend a lot of time doing what I said last week. I'm sorry, I was wrong. And so you say things that you ought not to say. Y'all look so offended tonight. Are you okay? Are you all right with this? This is the wisdom that's in James. And I'm trying to help you because I don't know that I've ever sat in, I don't do any of the marriage guidance anymore. We've got a great department that does that. But I've never sat when I used to. I never sat with a couple. I've never heard one of them go, you know what? One of the things that just irritates me so much about them is they listen so well and that they don't say unkind things and they're never angry. I never heard that. That never takes place. But what I have heard is the opposite. And so if you're sitting here feeling stung tonight, listen, I'm in the same boat. But the idea is, one of the things we have to do is start with your words talking about your anger. Stop talking about, I have anger issues. I'm Irish. Like that gives you a, oh, you're Irish. Oh, that makes it okay. Totally, we understand. You're Irish. How about this? I'm Latino. I've got Latin blood in me. I'm just hot-blooded. Listen, you can make a lot of different excuses. It doesn't do with anything with what James says. James said, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get anger. That means when we change, because remember, we're new creations in Christ, we have changed. And if we've changed, that means we have the capacity to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And we don't have to keep falling back on those same excuses. You know, for as many people as there are in here, y'all are quiet. I've already told you I have challenges in this area, but I'm getting better at this, and I'm getting better. Now, we're going to come back in about a year. We're going to talk about this, and I'm going to challenge you. Let's get better at this. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Anybody want to join me? That's good. It'll help. All right. Now, not done with anger yet. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So here's the deal about anger. Keep anger under control. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 26. This verse will help you. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And I thought you just said we're not supposed to get angry. Uh-uh. I said be slow to anger. James said be slow to anger. But here's the deal. It says you can be angry and not sin. So how in the world do you... Okay. We'll help you out. You can get angry. You ever just felt like you're just so angry at your boss? Anybody anyone ever worked for a bad boss? Just look straight ahead. You don't have to raise your hand, especially if they're here. Have you ever worked for a boss that just made you mad? Just walked in there and said something to you and you were like... And you were angry. Did you ever feel angry? Did you ever feel angry and not say anything? You just did it. Congratulations. Pat yourself on the back. You just did what Ephesians said. You were angry and you did not sin. But you felt angry. But you didn't sin. But you felt angry. But you didn't sin. I thought if I feel angry, I've sinned. No, it said be angry and don't sin. You can get angry and not blow up. You can get angry and not call someone names. You can get angry and not cuss them out and quit. That one should have at least elicited some. This is church, people. That should have at least gotten me a semi-amen. Right? You can get angry, but you don't have to sin. So here's the deal. Keep anger under control. Don't let it go too far. And don't let it go too long. Amen. So don't let the sun go down your wrath. Anger does not age well. Wine gets better with age. Anger gets worse with age. Because it ages poorly. And so the thing is with anger is you can have feelings of anger and never let anyone know that you're angry. You can feel so angry and look at someone and go, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Praise God. Some of y'all are angry at me right now, but hey. Just don't sin. Listen, all of us had... Now, if you were born with one of those temperaments, some of you have just really calm temperaments. Praise God for you. And that's wonderful. And that doesn't mean that we can judge someone. But if you've yielded to anger for too long, ask the Lord, say, Lord, help me. Now, I can honestly tell you, I've gotten better. at anger. And as I've grown, I've gotten better, and our relationship's gotten better, and I've learned to dial it back. Do I still get angry? Yes. Have I still made mistakes? Yes. I just apologized tonight to a whole bunch of people. So it's part of life. But I trust that the Lord can help us. And because He's changed us and because we're new creations in Him, we have the capacity. So don't keep saying, well, I'm just an angry person. I'm just an angry person. Say this, I'm a new creation and God's helping me. And He's helping me and I'm getting better all the time. I'm growing up in Him. I'm getting more Christ-like. I'm getting better all the time. That's better. The power of God's word to change you. I was about to tell you this is going to get better, but here we go. This is James. This is why I said it's a book for the mature, James 1:21. This is out of the New Living Translation. It reads very graphically. So get rid of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Now, James is actually talking to believers. And so he is telling you to make room for God's word. You want to begin to clean things up. We have been given the ability to clean things up. You say, get rid of the filth, get rid of the evil. 2 Corinthians 7th chapter, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So James is talking, and he's talking very clearly, and he's about to, again, James is very pointed. James was a pastor, he's very pointed. And he's talking to us. Now, here's another area where it would help you begin to say, instead of saying, I've got issues, it's better to say, Lord, thank you for helping me get the stuff out of my life that's wrong and does not belong there. That you can help me do that. God's not going to be He's not angry at you. He's not disgusted with you. But the Bible says that we have the ability to cleanse ourselves and clean things up. People have been praying a long time, God, clean me up. God, clean me up. If you've been born again, if you're a new creation in Christ, He has cleaned you up. Now we have to say no. We have to be the first no. Will God help us? Yes. Can He forgive you? Yes. But the idea is He's not just going to come and do it for you. You have to begin to cleanse yourself. And so you'll have to determine. I won't go into a laundry list of what can do. But James also said something in the very last verse first chapter is this. He said that religion, James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We live in a world that has got a lot of junk in it. And when you walk in it, it's the idea is we have to keep ourselves unstained. Now, some people think, well, they took that to the extreme. That's where you see oftentimes monasteries where people would go to be alone, just to be away from the world. I don't want to be touched by the world. But if that's the case, then you take all the Christians out of the world. And we're the salt and the light. We need to be in the world. People say, Alan, you got to get me. I got to get out of this job. I got to get a job where I work for a Christian company. I don't think there are Christian companies. There are companies who are run by Christians. But there aren't Christian companies. And what if God needs you in there? But I understand, too. I've been in places where you're around and the talk is filthy. And it's negative, and it's all, and you can come out of there and feel like I need a bath. And if you work in one of those situations, man, I pray and for God to help you in there, because it's not easy to be in those scenarios. I've been to a couple of places in the country that I thought after I went, I'm like I didn't like how I felt there. One of them was Bourbon Street in New Orleans. You ever been to Bourbon Street, man? I was in Bourbon Street one time on a business trip and had to go. And when I left, I felt like, ooh, it was just a foul place. And this, I was just like, ugh. And so, I didn't like that. I've watched television shows that after I finished watching them, I didn't feel good about it. I know I'm the only one. So y'all just let me have a therapy session tonight and I'll just share this. I've watched shows that you didn't feel. I just be honest with you guys. I've about given up on most television now. If it's not sports, I don't hardly watch it because I feel like I'm always having. And even with sports, you're having to dodge the commercials. And so it's. But sometimes you can finish something. I watched a show one time with my boys, and we watched a movie together. And after it was over, I cut it off and said, "I am sorry. I was wrong to let that continue." Why? The effort is we live in this world, and you can just get to the place where if you're not careful, you just get stained. It doesn't say you're not born again. It doesn't say you're not a Christian. And sometimes you have to go, "Lord, just cleanse me, wash me, forgive me just of your blood." That's the thing I love about coming to church. That's why I think church has such a cleansing effect. You sit in here and praise God for a while, you're going to feel clean again. You get in here, and you're like, "Oh, thank God for a clean place. Thank God for that." That's why people say, "Oh, I can be just as good a Christian without church." I don't believe that for a moment. We need one another. We need to be able to come in and encourage one another and build one another up. And sometimes you're trudging through a world and you've been through some nasty stuff. You're like, "Oh, I just need cleansing. Thank you, Lord." And so we have that ability. Guys, I'll just be careful. I'm just going to tell you, be careful if you do the late night internet. Internet is tough, and they have like rabbit holes where you click on this one, which leads to this one, which leads to this one, and you look up and you've spent an hour and a half on things that are just like bleh. Be careful. I'm not going to go into all the details. I think I don't have to. I think we all know, and I know that it's a polluted world out there, and so we have to go in it. You need to be salt and light. Keep yourself from it. And the Lord will help you in that area. He's good about that. Next week, we're going to talk about one more thing in James. James is talking about receiving the word. And we want to talk about that next week because that's real important. Now, before I close tonight, I want to just kind of prepare you for something that's coming. Keith Moore is coming in about 3 weeks. And Keith, for those of you who have not heard him, he's going to come on a Tuesday, Wednesday. He's the only guy I just turn the service over and go as long as you want. And he will. he keeps time with a calendar, and but he's an unusual gifting. He's got a prophetic office. He won't come in here and tell you that. He's got a prophetic office. He can say things that I've said for 150 times, and he'll say them once, and someone will go, "I got it." It's an amazing gift. And he's been one of the guys who have helped Joy and I over the years tremendously, and probably a ministry I hold dear to my heart. So we're gonna bring him here on Tuesday and Wednesday. And the reason I tell you that is this. The Bible said if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. If you received a teacher in the name of a teacher, you get a teacher's reward. Pastor in the name of a pastor. The principle is, if we receive him as a prophetic gift that God has sent to us, he has more invitations than he knows what to do with. And his invitations now are coming in from all over the world. He now has the capacity to go all over the world. He keeps coming here. And we feel so blessed that he keeps coming here. So I just wanted to tell you that so we can get ready for that. And you prepare your hearts for that. And he can say things that, like I said, he can say things and you'll go, "Oh, that's amazing." And he can say things that are more pointed than what I shared tonight. You'll actually like it. And so it's a real unique gifting. And I just encourage you, if you would, and I'm going to be talking about this for the next few weeks, let's just get our hearts ready and believe God can do some great things and some insight can come. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, thank you so much for every individual that's here tonight. Father, thank you for the ones who've made decisions for you, who have been born again. They're new creations. Thank you, Father, we're first fruits of all the goodness and the mercy you intend to show to the world. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Help us all be quicker to hear, slower to speak, slower to get angry. Father, thank you that you can help us. We can always improve. We're growing in you. And Father, thank you. If anyone leaves here tonight feeling like they're so despondent, thank you. That's not you. You always have hope. you always have light at the end of the tunnel. And you always believe in us. And you believe we can do it. That's why you said it. We thank you for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and you said, you know what, Alan, I'm just not right with God. I know that. I either need to make Jesus Christ my Lord, I'm not born again, or I need to come back to Him. I'm away from God. And I know it and He knows it. And if you would pray for me, I would so much appreciate that. We are going to pray. And so sitting in your chair, we're not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front. But if that's you that I'm talking to tonight and you're saying, Alan, would you pray for me? I don't know the Lord or I need to come back to Him. Would you just have the courage to slip your hand up across this auditorium? Say, Alan, that's me that you're talking to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands have gone up all over. Anybody else? Thank you for your courage. That's wonderful. We're going to do that. We're going to pray. Anybody else? Wonderful. Great. You can put your hands down. If you didn't lift your hand and you really wanted to and you thought you missed out, this is a heart thing. And you can pray this prayer from your heart. And God will, He'll see it. He'll hear you. He'll respond. It's a simple prayer, but it's powerful. We're going to ask the whole church family just to join in. We're going to pray this out loud. You pray it out loud so you can hear yourself. Say it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.